You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. What do you think is most important about what's going on in Iran? What's happening behind the scenes or what's happening on the streets? We want to hear what's striking you the most about all the coverage. Come up with your headline for today's news out of Iran or anywhere else. Where are the nukes? Is it freedom for the Iranian people? Is it that the Obama administration is not doing enough to support the so-called freedom fighters? Or is it another headline altogether? You can tell us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Reminding you of the latest today, Iran's top electoral body said it found no major fraud and will not annul the results of the June 12th election. That closes the door to a so-called do-over sought by angry opposition supporters alleging systematic vote rigging in the June 12th election. Today's announcement was really the clearest sign yet that there will not be a revote. But for more on what's happening in Iran now, Sadek Sabah, BBC Iranian Affairs Analyst, joins us live from London. Sadek, good morning.
Good morning to you.
We were talking earlier with a journalist from Al Jazeera who described that reporting outside of the West has focused a little bit more on what he called a kind of Kremlinology, an attempt to handicap what's going on behind the scenes as the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei attempts to confront what appears to be a divided government, the question of what Ahmadinejad is doing now, what Mousavi is doing now. These are details that really are absent from Western reporting so far. What do you make of what's going on in coverage both in Iran and in the Middle East?
Well, obviously, we don't know exactly what is happening behind the scenes, but what we do know is a major figure in the ruling elite, Mr. Hashemi Rafsanjani, who was twice president and twice a speaker of Iranian parliament, was openly abused by Mr. Ahmadinejad during presidential debate and was accused of corruption. He is supporting Mr. Mousavi, the main challenger to Mr. Ahmadinejad. So Mr. Rafsanjani is one of the most senior figures in Iran, and constitutionally, he heads a body of clerics known as the Assembly of Experts, which can dismiss the supreme leader. I'm not saying that they are in a position to do it now, but I'm talking about the legal framework in Iran and the constitution. Whether he can get enough support from members of this body to dismiss the supreme leader, to me, it seems highly unlikely, because it appears to me that Ayatollah Khamenei is in total control of Iran's armed forces, the security forces, and the state broadcasting. But obviously, what we are seeing in Iran, on the one hand, we see demonstrations in the streets. On the other hand, a power struggle. And the combination of the two is making the foundations of the Islamic Republic, to some extent, trembling.
Now, are media reports inside Iran alluding to this process that you described, that at least in theory there can be a challenge to the supreme leader?
There are many rumors in Iran, yes. There are rumors that, for instance, Mr. Rafsanjani has gone to the holy city of Qom, where Iran's most conservative senior clerics live. Rumors say that he has met some of them to gain support, but these are rumors. And Mr. Rafsanjani's daughter, by the way, the other day was arrested in the streets for a couple of hours. So there is quite obvious that Mr. Rafsanjani is now on the other side of the leadership. I mean, he's supporting the opposition. He's not supporting openly, but it is quite clear to me that he's doing something behind the scenes. And also we know that the former president, Mohammad Khatami, who is a reformist president, he is also supporting Mr. Mousavi, the main challenger, the opposition leader. And then there are also a division among the clerics themselves. An association of senior clerics also came to Mr. Mousavi's support yesterday. And they also asked for the annulment of the election. So now, you see divisions everywhere in Iran at the moment.
So let's just step back for a second. I mean, the American media and some in the West are fond of describing this as some sort of titanic battle between a younger generation, a younger educated, Western familiar, if not pro-Western generation, versus a more conservative, perhaps working class generation that's allied with the conservative forces in Iran. Is that what's really going on here? I mean, are there any signs of an opposition demand for change within Iran that might have to do with the economy or with issues outside of which cleric is talking to whom?
Yes, indeed. I mean, there is, of course, this class divide is to some extent visible, yes. I mean, the more educated, urban, middle-class people are supporting the opposition. They want change. They want serious reforms in the government. They are challenging the supreme leader in Iran. And let's not forget, for the first time in the streets of Tehran, you are hearing death to Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader.
Wow.
And he has put his authority on the line by supporting one side in this dispute, i.e. Mr. Ahmadinejad.
Does this voice have any credibility? Here's Reza Pahlavi, former crown prince of Iran, son of the Shah, I believe, speaking in Washington. Listen to this and let's assess whether his voice has any resonance today in Iran.
The supreme leader of the Islamic Republic decided to stand erect as a dam in front of this movement, sanctioning theft of the ballot box and flagrant fraud, all in the name of Islam. It was an ugly moment of disrespect for both God and man.
Sadiq Sabah, does the Pahlavi family, the royal family, the family of the Shah, have any credibility in Iran today, even given the circumstances on the street?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I mean, it is almost 30 years now that monarchy in Iran was overthrown, and the Shah was blamed for a lot of troubles in Iran at the time. And a lot of people, Iran has a young generation. I mean, there are two-thirds of Iranians are under the age of 30. They don't remember anything of the monarchy.
Sure, they have no memory of the Shah whatsoever. But yes, certainly we're seeing the limits of a sort of political discourse in Iran. The Shah, no serious discussion of that. But the idea that people are chanting death to Khamenei in the streets is certainly an important takeaway this morning. Sadiq Sabah, thanks so much for joining us.